CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the practical business section of our business masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio today is Safia Boulay of New Habits, Making Shift Happen.
Hi, Richard.
Nice to have you with us, Safia, as always.
Thank you.
We have an incredible guest with us today, Elizabeth Vasquez, who is president, CEO, and co-founder of We Connect International, a corporate-led nonprofit that helps to empower business women business owners to succeed in global markets. Elizabeth is a world leader in women's economic empowerment and a global supplier of diversity and inclusion. She's also co-author of the book Buying for Impact: How to Buy from Women and Change Our World. So welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us. I know you've literally just come from a conference, straight off some flights. Jet lag must be setting in, so we really do appreciate the time that you're taking with us. Also in studio with us is no stranger to the studio, Jean Chawapiwa, Country Director for We Connect International in South Africa. Welcome, Jean. Thanks for coming back in with us.
No, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Great to have you with us. So, Elizabeth, it's great to have you with us. I think for us, we've had an opportunity to hear from Jean before, but for me, the whole We Connect story was just so incredible that when they said to me, we have an opportunity, one of the co-founders is here in the country, I thought we have got to have this conversation. So tell me and the listeners, what is We Connect for you as the co-founder? What is We Connect for you?
So thank you again. It's really an honor to be with you on this important program. We Connect International for me is a opportunity for women to reach their full potential. Women business owners who have an idea, who have a solution, they now have buyers coming to them, trying to find them, wanting to source from them. And so it's a unique time in history where you have the biggest companies in the world desperately trying to find women suppliers. And we're very fortunate to have Jean here representing us in South Africa, because the women business owners in South Africa are really outstanding in products and in services.
I was going to say, I think, you know, what amazes me is we've got our fair share of challenges in South Africa, but the big push from a government perspective has always been is the principle of BBBEE in terms of empowerment. And the importance of women within that framework is significant. But I find it really interesting that that's a global trend that, you know, that's out there and that people are pushing and wanting to have happen. Because clearly that's an important part of diversity management across the place, and a global initiative, no doubt. So what are the big dreams of We Connect? I mean, you talk about connecting, you know, the supplier, you know, the demand side and the supplier side in terms of women in business and corporates in business. Just talk to us a little bit about this, let's call it the system that you're trying to engage.
So that's a good question. And it really is an ecosystem approach. We're trying to have some systems change, where the world wakes up to its purchasing power. And it realizes that when it spends its money, it has a direct impact on our world, whether it's the environment or people. And so when you have consumers aware of how they spend their money, and does any of it go to the people that they care about? When you have corporations aware of their purchasing power and how they spend it and how that impacts the communities that they care about, and governments aware of their purchasing power to make sure that all the citizens have an equal opportunity to deliver solutions. Then when we follow the money, we really have potential for impact at scale. And so in our case, our corporate members spend over $1 trillion a year on products and services, but only about 1% of that is with women-owned businesses. Which
that number just leaves me staggered, because I guess it does depend on perspective, but for me as a business owner, I really kind of go, I want the best service that I can get. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe, I mean, it almost sounds like there's an intentional, we don't buy from women. Because, I mean, you'd have to try really hard to get to 1%. I mean, that's like writing your name on the exam paper and handing it in. I mean, that's like not even trying. I mean, you would almost have to I mean, if I think about it in my own business, I'd have to like really try hard not to buy from women-owned businesses to get to that sort of level. So that's quite scary because do you know what are the stats of women-owned businesses as a percentage of businesses in general? I mean, what is the, like, let's call it that ratio. What does it look like? What's the, let's call it the natural level? I mean, I know it's not a 50-50, clearly, or whatever. I mean, and it depends, you know, what is defined as a women-owned business? You know, is it, you know, if it's a listed entity and it's run by a woman CEO, you know, is that woman-owned? Clearly not. It's a listed entity. But when it comes to, let's call it owner-managed and owner-run, what is the ratio globally of women businesses to total businesses? Do you have those sort of numbers available?
Sure. So the World Bank, the IFC, estimates that of all the private businesses in the world, about a third of them are owned by women, at least in part. And we definitely look at ownership, management, and control. That's really important to us because, to your point, you can have a woman CEO. That doesn't mean that if you spend money with that company that she actually owns the company. She runs the company, and that's great. We want and need more of that. But we want to make sure that if these corporations are actively trying to make sure they get more money into the hands of women and they're recruiting them to try to win their business, they want to make sure that the women are actually benefiting from that. And it is interesting because in the beginning, I also had the assumption that there must be something keeping these women out of these value chains.
Well, I mean, I'm going, okay, so if a third of the business, or third of business, it's just, I mean, roughly speaking, let's talk 30% just to round down, say between friends, but 30% to 1%. Wow, they're trying really hard in terms of exit, and exclusion. That's quite scary.
I've got a different question. Why should anyone do business with women? I mean, what is the benefit to, you spoke about citizenship, you spoke about business. What is the benefit to anyone other than the woman?
So that's actually a really good question. And so why is it these corporations are getting self-organized to consciously go out and try to find women suppliers? And that was part of the question. It's like, why are so few women winning their business? As it turns out, when we looked at the numbers and how these corporates sourced, what I have seen firsthand is that the corporates aren't trying to keep the women out. The women literally are not even knocking on the doors. It doesn't occur to most women to try to sell to an IBM or to an Ernst & Young or to a Walmart or to a Marriott. And yet these corporations are always looking for the best suppliers of products and services. And so the need to put out role models to inspire other women to think bigger about their potential is really important. But your question was, you know, what's the value add? Well, first and foremost, they're very innovative. They're very flexible. They're hungry for business. The ones that want to grow are really looking to be the best in class. And they offer a different perspective because they have a different experience than most of the businesses in the world that are already selling into these value chains. So these companies, if you think about it, women make over 70% of all or influence consumer purchasing decisions. They also are half the population. And so if you're not including half of the population and the consumers in developing your products and services, you are certainly missing out on anticipating the needs of all your customers, and therefore you're missing out on profit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I must tell, we used to have a joke when I was a lot younger. My mother always used to say, you could always tell when an appliance was designed by a man versus a woman. She said a stove, for example, designed by a man, had all these nice fancy little grooves everywhere.
But a woman has to clean it.
And a woman's stove designed by a woman would be like wash and wipe straight down. And it's the men with all these little tracks that have got all the grease and grime in, you know. And I always used to joke, I think about it as a joke. But that's the reality that, you know, if you aren't engaging with that segment of the market, well, who is your customer and who? And I mean, let's be honest, in most of the, especially purchases that are in the home environment, the reality is that women are generally the ones that are making those buying decisions, just by the nature of the roles in the family. You know, when it comes to understanding what their children want and need, children tend to be more connected with their mom than their dad. Just, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, they'll, you know, I think back to my, or thinking of my family. I mean, the reality is, don't ask me what shampoo I need to buy for my daughter. I haven't a clue. Okay, I do know it has to be sulfate free. That much I do know. But
you need to become a Metro man.
Yeah, but my wife would be able to answer that question in seconds.
Yeah,
you know, what your family is eating and consuming and products that you're using all day every day, you know, the women in the house are aware of these things. Men aren't. So they're driving, as you say, what, 70% of the decisions?
I mean,
yeah, that stands to reason.
Yeah. I mean, for me, since the time I've been working with WeConnect, that figure has been quite staggering, that women actually have 70% of the purchase decisions. And I find when I present to groups of mostly women, you still get women going, what, do we? Because I think we don't always think about what we're doing and that we are spending the money. So I think for me, part of the journey for us as WeConnect in South Africa is to make women more aware of, yes, you are making the purchasing decisions and you know that you can purchase from women, and let's actively look for them. Mm. So we're not just looking for women to identify them for the corporates, but we actually want to make sure that the wider population actually gets to understand there are women-owned businesses out there. And they provide a lot of services. You know, we've now find painters and decorators and, you know, you name it, women are out there. Mm. The other point I wanted to make was to Elizabeth's point of, you know, women make up 30% of the businesses. They tend to be the smaller businesses. Mm. And we don't always think about scaling, and, you know, we don't always think about, you know, how do we bring our businesses to be the billion-dollar businesses. And we tend to be happy with keeping them at that kind of a small base. And what we want to do is encourage women to have big businesses.
Now, it's interesting that you say that, because I think the way people think and the way, let's call it the differences are between men and women. So men want to build big. It's like it's the man thing, you know, the go out and hunt kind of story. And you know, when you make that mention, I think to myself, you know, I'm not so sure that women have that like desire to plant the competitor next to them in the dust and say, well, I'm now going to take their space. Women are much more collaborative. And so businesses that are collaborative in style and nature, that are run by women, just flourish. And I mean, I've seen a number of examples of that where women just seem to play nicer together. You know, the boys get into the, you know, it's mine and it's your, you know, they have conversations of mine and yours rather than ours and we. It's a different way of thinking. And it unfortunately is, you know, it's, let's call it in that personal space that then moves into the business space. There's a lady that I know, Helen Nicholson, she talks about networking and how different people, the differences between how men network and how women network.
Yes.
And I'm always amazed at how, you know, men haven't spoken to each other for 15 years, but they need something. They'll pick up the phone and say, hey, dude, I need this and I need that. And they go, yeah, sure, cool, no problem, done. And the phone goes down. And that's how the network of men works. Whereas in a woman's case, they constantly want to connect with their network. And a 15-year gap in a conversation is like a major thing in their networking in space. Mm. With men, it blows by, and you know, so the dynamics between the two are very different, and so the business flows will be very different.
Yeah, it's
now,
true.
One of the things that I wanted to ask about is you engage with corporates, and I know that you at your conference, I know you're spending some time at EY, IBM's part of your, let's call it your corporate family. Who else is in the corporate family globally? And then I'm going to talk to the South African environment. Who's your global brands that you play with?
So that's a good question. And there are honestly many. They're across every industry sector. So it's all the major pharma companies. It's all the major technology companies. We have the major manufacturers, major service providers, whether it's in accounting or major banks. This is a global trend. where the best corporations, the best in their industry in the world, are realizing that they constantly have to innovate. They constantly have to look for the best solutions for their customers, and they are quite desperate to find all the world's best suppliers. So our opportunity is to encourage the women of South Africa and the women of the world to really think big about their full potential. We all have ideas. We all see challenges every single day. And in South Africa, you have some significant challenges you're facing right now. Those are opportunities. That's a chance to start a new business and prosper and deliver solutions.
I mean, earlier this week, I was looking at some statistics in preparation for a show where I was looking at unemployment numbers, 25% unemployment. And, we talk and we've got lots of noise at the moment about a radical economic transformation. And, the principle of inclusive growth, and that implies that anybody who's in that unemployed environment, we need to help create opportunities. And unfortunately, the reality is a large number of those people in that unemployed space will probably be women, just by the pure statistics.
Yeah.
So I kind of look at it and say, well, there's a way that you can make a sizable difference to some of those challenges. And Jean, in the South African context, some of the corporates that you're working with currently, how do you find, how do corporates in South Africa receive the, they're so busy with so many things and so many challenges, and Triple B is coming at them, and then in there is this woman element that they hopefully realize gives them a huge I think women in the Triple B space gives you a huge competitive advantage.
I've seen that it does.
What is corporate South Africa's response to you?
So they're very welcoming, so it's great. Obviously WeConnect is very big globally. So we've got some very big global players, which is great to interact with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth brings those messages through to us when we come through. So the local players are seeing the advantage of having women, and us identifying those women for them as suppliers. So locally, we're dealing with, the Accentures, Dell, IBM, Ingersoll Rand, Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble. I mean, the list goes on, Exxon Mobil, etc. And, it's actually growing. Our advisory council, when I started back in August 2015, I think we had about 5 companies. We're now at 16 corporate companies that are part of our advisory council. And they come to the meetings and they're eager to help, and they really want us to help to identify the women-owned businesses and engage with them. So we do a lot of training. We're now doing mentoring as well with a couple of the women under the supply development programs. Mm-hmm. So the corporates are coming on board and they're enthusiastic. And often what's happening as well is that they introduce the suppliers they have already to us. So on both sides, we're kind of introducing each other to women-owned businesses, and our network is growing. And I liked your point about, how women interact, because one of the successes of WeConnect South Africa for me has been, as our network grows of the women that are within the network, women, they're starting to buy from each other more frequently, and they're coaching each other and they're mentoring each other. And today we're at EY, where we're preparing for the conference in a few days. And it's amazing to see the friendships that have come out of there and people who met through WeConnect. So we're not just building bigger businesses and, encouraging them to be better businesswomen and getting them to share their practices and experiences, but we're actually creating new families, which is amazing.
Now, I have to ask this. When it comes to corporate South Africa, and I guess it's probably very because of the male-dominated society of South Africa often, are those corporates, the corporates that engage with you, are the men engaging with you, or is it the women in those corporates that engage?
It's
who
both.
Who identifies
it's
best?
Both, actually. Okay, because we engage with the people in procurement, and it varies. It really does vary. I think it's probably close to 50-50 of the women and the men that we engage with. And they're both enthusiastic about engaging with us. So, I think they both come. I don't know on a global level whether it's the same thing, but I think it is. Yeah.
It is the same thing. I think the biggest opportunity is when we see a shift from mostly North American corporations and some European corporations wanting to do this to their biggest prime suppliers, which are the biggest South African companies, the biggest Indian companies, the biggest as Chinese companies, when they start to look at inclusive sourcing, that's when I think we will really start to move the needle on this. Mm-hmm. So we're not there yet, but it's really important that South African corporations who are already on the world stage in how they, because of the various government incentives to be inclusive, they're the best out there. But we want to start working with more of them directly.
Okay. So perhaps what are some of the key learnings or trends that you're seeing from women entrepreneurs globally that you think South Africans will learn from? I mean, there must be global best practice that you can say, hey, that works particularly well and people should be doing this.
So there are two things. One is, first and foremost, women slowing down a little bit, women as business owners, to say, what is it the world is buying? Mm-hmm. And that's a shift from, this is what I'm passionate about and this is the solution I want to offer, to saying, okay, but what is the world going to pay for? And once you understand and do some market research and you align that with your skills and your passion, then I think we have real opportunity for transformation. The second thing is when the women, to your point earlier, start to recognize that they're not in this alone. The WeConnect database has women-owned businesses in over 100 countries. They now, for the first time ever, can access each other. This is to Jean's point too. They can find each other and reach scale. So if you want to deliver a solution in South Africa, but you need some of the material to come from China and have some of the manufacturing done in India and some of the design work in Europe, but then, you know, you have the company, you have the idea, and it's really your model and your brand, then you can deliver it, but you can deliver it at, in a way that is cost effective and truly benefits from a global footprint. So I think those are the two things that we're seeing women become a lot more sophisticated about.
I must also just say that, I mean, having spent some time with women at WeConnect, I'm fascinated by the diversity of businesses that they're in. I was expecting people to be in the services industry.
Yeah.
But we're talking construction, engineering, shipping.
Well, if I may go to one of the very first people that I met via WeConnect.
Chemicals.
Judy Sinansky from,
from
Blendwell. Yeah. Just out of interest, so I happen to have a company that does business with Blendwell. And I'd never met her, and I was like, and then I read up, and I'm like going, I know all about her company and how well they do and what they do. Mm. And then I go, you know, you read a write-up that says an all-women management team, and I go, well, it's not, you know, it wasn't even a fact that I'd think about, but I'm going, wow, so it's an all-women team that do the chemicals that we're using in commercial applications.
Yes.
And, you know, if you said to somebody else, you know, we supply chemicals designed by an all-women team, people might go, well, you know, the fact that it's not even well-known, well, wasn't not well-known to me, kind of said something, you know. We trust the brand long before we go and say, well, who's running the show here?
And, well, I think what's going to be interesting for women, once they fully embrace the fact that they do business a little bit differently, for example, to your point of, they're really generally intuitively good on ESG. They're good on the environment, they're good on social, and they're good on good governance and transparency without anyone telling them to. Mm-hmm. They tend to set up their businesses in a way that is more inclusive and is socially conscious and environmentally conscious. That's a huge, huge asset in a world where corporations and governments are, because of technology, being held accountable, and because of shows like this, where, you know, the people now have more information about who they're doing business with, what they're buying and from whom. So these big organizations are being held accountable along their entire value chain. They can no longer say, well, I didn't know that because it was a supplier or a 10th tier supplier. So it's, women will be in a very, very good position, I think, if they fully leverage what they do intuitively, to really, present that as a business benefit to their customers.
Mm. Now, if I may ask, I mean, entrepreneurship shifts economies. We know that. I mean, thinking as an entrepreneur really does, it's the new way of thinking. You know, the days of massive corporations running the world is past. You're now playing a pivotal role, as WeConnect, in engaging the woman entrepreneur. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what is the, in terms of the role that you play, how do you see entrepreneurship for women playing out across the globe and shifting the world? What are you seeing out there?
So I see the huge potential. It's an untapped resource. You have governments like in Japan and in the UAE and other markets where they have these really well-educated women entrepreneurs who have all these great ideas and the potential to create jobs, and they've really never been tapped. They are really underutilized, and yet they're half the population. But they are as underutilized as other communities. It might be based on ethnicity, or it might be based on caste, or on LGBT status, or people with disabilities. But there are all these people in the world who have the ability to create really important, innovative companies that can create jobs that the world desperately needs. It doesn't matter what country mm-hmm. I go to. Every country needs jobs,
yeah.
especially with the young people coming out of school and not having them. So it is really is quite urgent. And I totally agree that SMEs are the engine of growth for any economy. And that I think all people would benefit from being an entrepreneur, even if it's an intrapreneur within their company or mm-hmm. within the government or within yeah. their organization, having that spirit of being innovative and of taking responsibility for taking risks and trying new things. I think it's a very exciting, exciting time.
Definitely, definitely.
And I agree. I just think women, as women, we've realized that there's a lot we can do. And entrepreneurship space is amazing. We can recreate the world. We can become more imaginative. We can make the world what we want it to be. And I think women are really plugging into that and having the courage to do so. Yeah. I mean, this morning we had perfecting the pitch training for a group of women, and it was just amazing to hear what they're doing, the ambition they have, the courage they have. So I think the entrepreneurship space is the place where we can grow without limitations.
Mm. Well, I truly believe that the entrepreneurial space is the engine of growth. I mean, when we talk about, you know, radical economic transformations and inclusive growth and all this, the bottom line is, if you can't grow businesses, you can't grow your economy.
Okay. Yeah, and, absolutely.
And no matter what your political affiliations and views and et cetera are, the reality is in any economy, in any country globally, no entrepreneurship, no success.
And women aren't looking for charity. They're not wanting – corporates aren't buying from these companies because they're women. They're looking for the best. You have to compete just like everyone else. It's just that right now they're invisible in global value chains. They're not showing up to compete. And that's the gap that we have to address. The women are not looking for people to, you know, help them out. The truth is the world desperately needs the help of women. And now the women have to step up, take responsibility, own that, and start
as
producing.
They always do.
As they always do. As they always do. But start producing at scale, the solutions that we all need. It's true. We do a lot, but so much of it is unpaid work. That has to change.
That has to change.
If I could just ask you, if you could give, in 30 seconds, one bit of advice to entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs, in terms of stepping up and owning the spotlight, what would it be?
Be brave. Leverage your passion and affiliate with people who've gone before you. Don't try to do it alone. There's plenty of people, entrepreneurs, who have succeeded and failed and succeeded and failed, and they've learned a lot of lessons. So you don't have to keep doing that. Just partner up, listen to shows like this, get advice, join WeConnect. Jean's here to help.
And Jean, what would you say?
Yeah, I think for me as well, be brave is great. Switch off that negative voice in your head that says you can't do it, because you really can, I think. And join the networks of other women who pull and push and shove you to go up.
And it's not be afraid of asking men for help.
Yeah, no, I mean,
we're in this together.
We're in this together. I mean, I think women do ask for help. So, you know, I think we ask for help and we know when we need help. But often what we don't understand is that we can be the leaders too.
Yeah. And we just want an equal opportunity.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's great. Well, we're out of time. Elizabeth, Jean, thank you
already?
Very much.
Yeah.
Already, yes. Thank you very much for joining us. All the best with WeConnect.
Thank you very
much. And the conference and the
thank
time
you.
That you're spending here. Next up, the Youth Leadership Platform. CliffCentral.com.